Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I've entitled this wedding meditation, The Ark of Salvation, Refuge of the Saints. Please be seated. I picked a slightly different text for a wedding. I picked the text from Genesis 7, verse 7. And I'm going to, first of all, give you a Reader's Digest version of events, and that is, it's the story of Noah and the ark. Of course, you know, the rain fell down. Noah had been instructed to build this ark, an ark of safety for his family. And just before the rain began to fall in earnest that was going to cleanse the earth, Noah and his family walked into the ark, and God was protecting them in this ark. A little detail in verse 7, Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And the very hand of God closed the door. When you first came today, a few minutes before worship, Pastor Joseph came out to welcome you and remind you that when you enter into the church, you enter truly into a different world. Although still very much in the material world of the senses and time, we might glimpse by faith. We're in an eternal realm stepping here where angels and archangels dare to fly. God himself is present because the Word is present. God himself is present. And you entered through the doors and you passed through that lobby area that we call in the church the narthex. And now most of you are sitting in the part of the church known as the nave. Most of you are in the nave now. Pastor Joseph is up here with me in the sanctuary. But the nave, it's a nautical term, appropriate since the Almighty Father, knowing of something of ships, commanded Noah to build a great ark, to be saved through the cleansing waters, shutting him in and protecting him. The nave, nautical term, also appropriate because the Lord Jesus ruled the waves and he walked on water. Peter and all those who followed him in the Lord would be saved by his strong hand through the waters. The nave, also appropriate because God, the Holy Spirit, hovering over the primordial waters in the beginning, then separated these waters from the seas to the waters above and the clouds. So the entire Godhead then declared, "This is good." The triune God invoked at the beginning of this service that mysterious three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, wishes to save us from the stormy waters of this world and bring us to safety. Imagine this church, if it were, look up and imagine if it were turned upside down, and you might imagine yourself in the great hold of a ship. Here, in the nave of the church, we find rescue, we find salvation, we find the protection of Almighty God. Karen and Paul come here because they know that in this place where the Word is present, they find God's grace, salvation, protection, His Almighty blessing upon their wedding and their marriage to come. These are much needed gifts that God bestows, which cannot be provided even by the loving of friends and family and even by parents. There are gifts that only the Almighty God can provide, and we're here to receive it. Karen and Paul are at a turning point in their lives. And the world, I don't have to tell you too much, is a troubling place. There's evil forces at work to separate the individual from God, a newly married husband and wife from one another, children separating from parents, till it gets so extreme that nation rises up against nation. But as Karen and Paul set sail for the adventure of a lifetime, together with parents, friends, and even themselves, they might wonder from time to time how they're going to ever ride out storms and quiet, troubled waters which the world stirs up. They'll need to seek shelter in as strong a ship as Noah found. The church is that stronger ship. Noah's Ark was made of strong and seaworthy against the waters of the flood, as God commanded Noah to coat the timbers with pitch from within and from without. Noah did well to take his family within the ark, and they found safety there, protection there, even as we find protection here. But what about this ship of salvation? You look up at these timbers and shingles, and you can probably hear some roofing committee say, you know, that lasts like 20 years, and even if you have a steel wool, a roof, it only lasts for a certain time. But look deeper than that, because the church's timbers are coated with a much stronger bonding agent than pitch. The church is held together by the very precious blood of Jesus Christ. You look front and center, and I ask, what is it that you see? Where are your eyes drawn to as you're sitting in the nave and you're looking up at the front here? And you're looking there, your eyes are hopefully drawn to the very cross of Jesus. Now, the big cross is built right into the architecture of this church, and you almost miss it. But there's also a bronze cross on our altar. You know that the cross is central to the faith in Christianity. Because on the cross, Jesus, He died for us. The precious Lamb of God, His body and blood sacrificed and distributed to the saints, strengthening them day by day. Look in your bulletins. What's going to happen next? Maybe some of you are already paging ahead. What happens after this guy finishes speaking? Well, in the worship service following the sermon, Paul and Karen, they're going to approach this altar. They will not be content to remain in the nave this day, but they're going to come up closer to view the source of this ship's strength. They come to the altar, and this is a place reminding us of sacrifice, particularly the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They come and they'll behold the cross of Jesus connected with this altar. This is the place from which our Lord's body and blood are distributed for the forgiveness of sins. This is a place where those who love receive a stronger kind of love, a sacrificial love to sustain them. And they'll kneel at this altar. This, when they kneel, is a most sacred moment. They take such physical steps as an outward sign of the Lord who draws close to them in love. No greater love has the shepherd than he lays down his life for the sheep. Karen and Paul will draw close today. And ordinarily, most of the time, people remain beyond the altar rail. But today, they draw closer because they're seeking the source of Christ's love for themselves, that they may be able to love one another through thick and thin, and that they might share their love with all of their friends and their family, and even the world. What great love shall they profess to each other? Live such great vows. Don't allow them to just kind of go by over your heads. Look at them. Meditate on them. What great vows shall Karen and Paul make at this altar? Almost causes one to tremble. I will have and hold you from this day forward. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and cherish, till death us do part, according to God's holy will, and I pledge you my faithfulness. Most of us, we tremble when we sign a 3-year lease on a car or something like that. But marriage is till death us do part. Most brides and grooms stumble about a bit in rehearsal saying these words. Karen and Paul are no exception. It's a strange kind of way of saying things. It's an older English syntax deliberately left in to make us stumble, I think. Forces us to slow down at our vows. We need to stand in great awe at the permanency of these vows. Couples who have friends officiate where they might write their own vows, they'll often omit these distinctly Christian marital promises. It's until death parts us. What also ought to make us shudder a bit is the ancient origins of marriage. It's not conceived as some idea from the heart of man or even from the collective heart of mankind. It's not something that's easily legislated upon as most first world governments do and feel at liberty to redefine marriage and its meaning. But instead, marriage, it's God's idea. It's as old as Adam and Eve, our first parents. We also shudder when we realize that marriage, it's not always going to be, you know, a 50-50 contribution situation. Instead, we say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. And there may be times when a bride may be earning more than her husband, for example, or there may be times when, you know, one part of the marriage is healthier than the other. There'll be times when one will need to, because of health or whatever other reasons, have to bear more of the domestic duties in the relationship. And at times, one may even serve as the caretaker of the other. This is no 50-50 business partnership to be dissolved when one or the other finds themselves bearing 70% of the work and the other only 30%. Or you can figure out lots of other ratios. No wonder, as we think of these things, the world delays marriage or avoids marriage or belittles marriage. No wonder that not many enter into marriage as God intended it, without clauses or loopholes or exit strategies. But the Christian, in great bravery and confidence and love, will take on these vows because Jesus Christ is the one who gives strength. Oftentimes, the strength we lack might be given through the church, the communion of saints. No individual is to be left alone in God's plan, neither any one couple or family. We're to hold one another up as individuals, as couples, and as families. And to find the strength to do so, Christ gives it by his sacrificial love. It's a love regularly given through the word and sacrament that's held in trust by the church. It's such a love that they receive today, which they may grow into. We are in the nave, in community, as a ship of mates sailing together, and parents will promise support of the relationship today. They will do their best to help their children fulfill their marital vows. They're not to be left on their own. But all of us are gathered together for a reason. We are also to pray and lend any physical or material support to help Karen and Paul remain together and grow in their relationship. And when we wonder at whether this ship of souls exercising such great responsibilities and exercising them, we remember that the integrity of this ship is held together by the precious blood of Jesus. It's strong, and it will give your marriage strength as well. May we therefore now prepare to draw close to our Lord in his sacrificial love, drawing deep on his strength for today and for continued success in the future, that Karen and Paul may have many, many years of a wondrous marriage, strengthened by the sacrificial love of Jesus and of his church. Amen.